Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There was no, financial, stress happening there. So that when you're in a position like that, where you can choose your own destiny, if you like, where you are able to make your own decisions.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyron Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with co-founder of Next for Sale, Liam Austin. We delve into his aspirations to become a professional soccer player in his teenage years, how his parents played a pivotal role in him jumping into investing in property, an unbelievable story about the first property he purchased, and much, much more. Liam Austin started the company Next for Sale, and we learn about how his company is able to help property investors.
I'm the co-founder of Next for Sale, which is a new software tool for property investors as well as new home buyers that uncovers distressed property. So it allows you as a buyer to buy below market value and gain that instant equity, unlock that instant equity from the property to grow and grow your property investment portfolio.
We learn about what a typical day looks like for Austin and where he is currently located.
I'm living in Malta at the moment, so I normally wake up, eat some breakfast, head off to the office. It's about an 8-minute drive. Yeah, I've timed it 8 minutes. sit down into the office and get stuck into either our forum, where we are replying to our community, into the emails and replying to any emails that have been filtered through to me via our virtual assistant. And I'm working with my partner, Sarah, as well as co-founder in Next for Sale, Alex, on those businesses where I'm looking to grow my email list authority, my network of influencers, and make an impact, as well as make some revenue via these virtual events and conferences that we run, one in the Australian property market, the Australian Property Investor Show, and the others are for small businesses, how to generate leads and sales online.
He shares a little bit about his background and where he grew up.
Grew up in Putney, lived there throughout the whole school, right from when I was born, same house in Putney. Went to Brony Park Primary School, which is a local school, then off to high school, which was Westfield Sports High School out in Fairfield, and then locally Holy Cross College in Ryde for the last couple of years before I headed off overseas. And since then, I've really been back and forth between Australia and living overseas.
Currently residing in Malta, we find out about how he ended up there and what he did after high school.
This is quite a, an adventure, I suppose, we're looking back. But from leaving school, I went overseas and lived in the UK for a little while. And I think like most people, young Australians do, kind of head off to London. And so I spent almost a year over there and then headed back to Australia. And to summarize it, and we can delve into maybe into it a little bit deeper, but I purchased a property in Sydney. I then traveled to South America for a year. I then bought another property, and when I returned to Australia, And again, I went traveling again from that. I started my own online business to help facilitate my travels. The whole idea of, you know, property investment and building your wealth, gaining some passive income and creating that cash flow, I've taken those lessons and learnings into my life. So I was looking at, okay, well, starting an online business and creating a passive income flow through some automated online marketing businesses that I run. I talked about the virtual summits and online conferences that we do. So that's really facilitated my lifestyle now, where I have my partner is Swedish. So we've lived in Sweden for a little while, Thailand, as well as now Malta.
He has traveled all over the world, but we hear the story about the period of time he spent in the UK.
So I played soccer or football growing up, and I was scouted by a couple of teams over in the UK to go and play and trial with them. So I ended up playing a season over there, and on my return to Australia, I ended up signing a professional contract with the Wollongong Wolves, which played in the National Soccer League, as it was called at the time, now called the A-League. So I played there for 4 years until really the National Soccer League ended and unfortunately just folded and was reignited via the A-League. But by then I was overseas again and living in Spain.
His younger years were spent on trying to achieve his dreams and become a professional soccer player.
You're in London and you're out in the cold each morning, running around on muddy, well, what was and should have been muddy, wet ground, but that mud had frozen a lot of the mornings. So the ground was very uneven from previous days running around in the mud and training in the mud. So it became a bit of an experience. Having grown up playing soccer, I mentioned that I went to Westfield Sports High School in Fairfield, where it's out west of Sydney, where it does get quite hot. So we were training in 30 plus degrees heats a lot of the time, and to then go to the UK and experience the complete opposite, where you're training with gloves and a beanie and sometimes even a scarf. It's certainly something that's stuck in my mind.
After coming to the realization that his soccer career probably wasn't going to pan out, he got a job that quickly put him on the right track.
When it comes to professional soccer, football in Australia, back then, which was like the year 2001, I believe, it was a semi-professional setup. We just didn't really have the audience, the TV coverage, the media coverage, and the sponsorship to really grow the game. So a lot of the players were part-time. So I went to university as well as worked a part-time job, and was training in the evenings. And so when I came back, I went and studied at Macquarie University doing a marketing and economics degree. So I finished that in 3 years. And my first real job when I came back was working for a startup in the internet space. And they were doing just some really interesting things, where I was watching people purchase, consumers purchase from all around the world on a daily basis, this service and product that they were providing. And I just realized, like, it was a small team. I think I was like the fourth person who joined the team at the time. And there was like hundreds of sales coming through per day and thousands of new trialists and registrations. And it was just amazing to see that you could grow a business in such a small team with the power of the internet. And we all know the Facebooks and Tinders of the world and how big they've grown. And at the time, this was all new to me. And so since then, really, that has dictated the rest of my life, realizing that, hey, this is maybe going to be able to facilitate my urge to travel the world and experience different cultures and live that lifestyle that I really wanted to live. And so since really then, I've been looking at and trialing and testing different ways that I could create an online business. And, you know, there's been a lot of failures along the way where I was, you know, doing and launching some new products and services online, and some were able to bring in, you know, a little bit of money, but really not enough to, you know, facilitate that dream lifestyle, traveling the world. And so I struggled for a long time, and it wasn't really until I found the virtual summit and were creating these online conferences that the business really took off.
Austin shares the businesses that he was involved in that didn't work, but that inspired him to start working on the current business he's in.
The startup that I was working with was called Soulmates Technology, which ended up selling out to Match.com. Match.com are the owners of Tinder. And so it was a white-labeled online dating software and technology. So we were white-labeling the technology and partnering with sites like MSN, so Microsoft and Yahoo and others, and powering their dating sections of their websites. And as part of that role, the owner of the business and the co-founders decided that they would give me a white labeled site of my own. So I ended up creating my own brand, registering my own domain. And since the product and service was being provided to me, I was able to just focus on marketing this website. So I got to learn about online marketing and you know, digital advertising. I was one of the first advertisers who did some of the paid search advertising in Australia. So that was really interesting and a good experience. So that really kicked it off. And from there, I've worked with doing a travel-based website, as well as it was almost like a catalog website with many different areas where people could purchase different products and services, from ordering flowers online to the travel. And travel was actually one of the categories that really stood out and was proving to be making more money. So that's when we actually moved into creating a travel website versus moving away from the catalog style website. And so there was lots of learning along the way, but nothing really, really took off on that journey. So it wasn't, as I mentioned, until we started our first virtual summit, which was the LinkedIn Success Summit, where we had 35 expert speakers talking about how to generate leads and sales from LinkedIn, that we saw we had 15,000 people register for that online event in the space of just a few weeks. And we ended up making just shy of $100,000 Aussie dollars in that, you know, short period of time. It took us about 3 months to really, from conception to fulfilling and completing the event. But it was just a really powerful influx and spike in revenue and registrations and interests. And I'd never really seen that before across all the different businesses that I'd tested and tried. There was an obvious strong demand and interest for this online type of conference.
You never really know when inspiration can strike you. And for Austin, it proved to him with the idea of creating his own business.
With the online conferences and virtual summits, we've been running them since 2015. So it's been 5 years or so now. And I came across it via a podcast. So just listening to someone talking like a story similar to this, and seeing some of these virtual summits online, I started researching and signing up for them and seeing the value and the interest and the engagement from the users and the attendees of the event, and the opportunity to take these attendees on a journey through helping them solve their problems. So they're coming to an event to help solve a problem where they're meeting some of the top influencers in the market. They're getting some really valuable information that, you know, if they had to go to an in-person conference, they may be spending hundreds or thousands of dollars to attend these types of events. And suddenly they could attend them online from anywhere in the world. So they didn't have to travel and spend tickets on flights or hotels or taxis or food whilst they're traveling and time away from their family. They could literally sit in front of their computer or any internet-connected device, so their mobile phone, and attend this online conference. So for me, I was just like, oh, wow, so let's see how we can maybe do this for ourselves. Maybe this is something that I can test that can work. And so, we decided to go ahead and see if we could successfully host one of these online conferences ourselves.
Austin explains how the virtual summits work and explains how they differ from his other business, Next for Sale.
I should distinguish that from the Next for Sale business. So Entrepreneurs HQ is the business that was started via these virtual summits 5 years ago. I've been running virtual summits via Entrepreneurs HQ since 2015. We've run 15 of these events, which works out to be like four almost per year. And that has been really the main focus for us. And this is the second business that I've just really came into is really really following a passion of mine, which is Australian property investment. And so we are running a virtual summit in Australia, which is the Australian Property Investment Show. And that is really the way that we are looking to enter the market and launch this new tool for property investors, the Next for Sale software tool, which uncovers the distressed property.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Liam Austin's journey and the role his parents played in his career.
Watching them with their investments and talking about them over dinners and so forth really helped inspire me to kind of go down maybe a similar track.
An extraordinary story you won't want to miss.
I bought an apartment, which is residential, and now they're telling me something about having to turn the apartment and the permits into a commercial permits.
And that's next. I'm Tarun Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. We now hear about how he began his property investing journey and where that inspiration came from.
I was living at home with my parents at the time, and they came home and let me know that they'd put a deposit down on a property, an apartment. And I was intrigued by, you know, real estate and property. I've seen it all in the news and people talking about it, but never had seriously considered anything myself. And so that really piqued my interest. I was like, what? You just came home? You just purchased a property? Like, yeah, we're just driving past this new development in Rhodes in Sydney. And we went in there just to check it out. And it looked great, and the guy sold us on an apartment there. So I was like, well, you know, tell me more. So, you know, we had dinner and we talked about it some more, and they decided the next day they were going to take me to show me this new apartment. I was like, yeah, cool, this might be something that I'd like to maybe invest in as well. I don't maybe have too much cash right now, but this would be something, you know, interesting for me. So we went across there the next day, and I checked out the development, which was really just mud, excuse me, at the time, which is now turned into, there was like thousands of apartments really being built there in Rhodes, alongside a brand new shopping center that included the first IKEA in Australia. So there was going to be a big IKEA built right next door to these apartments. And they were just really selling the first couple of buildings in the development, which meant that, well, at least the salesperson was telling me, like, you know, if you get in now early, like, the price is going to just keep increasing because all these other developments are going to be released, and they're going to have almost second choice, if you like, because they're going to be paying more and they're going to be in not so much of a desirable location, whereas you're getting here early and we can, you know, give you a good deal. So I was like, okay, so how does this work? And he's like, well, we just need to put down a small deposit today, and the build is going to take 18 months, and that's when you'll be required to pay the remaining deposit onto the property and get your home loan sorted, and then you've got your mortgage repayments from there. So I decided to go ahead with the deposit, and yeah, I've got a couple of years to pull together the remaining cash. So that worked out quite well in that I didn't have enough money right at the time, but it got me on the ladder and it got me saving, knowing that I had this this bill that I needed to pay. And if I weren't able to pay that bill, then I was going to lose my initial deposit on the property.
Austin's parents played a major role in his property journey, and we delve into how important it is to talk to people with experience in whatever field you're working in.
Maybe it's a lesson that people have maybe gone through or learned themselves. Like, you know, there's my parents are people that I trust when it comes to, you know, financial decisions, and watching them with their investments. They encouraged me to invest into shares a few years prior to that. So they kind of sparked the interest in me. And so watching them with their investments and talking about them over dinners and so forth really helped inspire me to kind of go down maybe a similar track. So, you know, just being surrounded by the right people, I think, so important. And you know, if you are seeing people that are being successful in their lives, and that's something that you want for yourself, I feel like it's really important to you know, maybe connect with these people, ask them how they've done it, and let them know that maybe they inspire you, you're interested in you know, creating a similar type of lifestyle for yourself, and how do you go about it. And so for me, that inspiration was really my parents to purchase that first property. And I think, you know, if you're sitting here listening to this and you haven't maybe purchased your first investment property, thinking about, you know, who's inspired you to think about property investment. I mean, why are you listening to this podcast, this episode? What is it that, you know, drives you, or what is your ultimate goal with that? And maybe there's someone in your life that has achieved what you want to achieve. And if you can reach out to them and see if they could possibly become a mentor or an advisor to help you along that track. I mean, that really is what helped me get off my bum, if you like, and actually go ahead and make that investment and move forward and make that decision. Because from what I've learned speaking to many different property investors and experts out there that have had lots of success, it's really about making that decision, getting in the market with, you know, a better performing property at a better price, and staying in there for the long term.
We find out about the current situation of the first property that Austin bought and the incredible story behind it.
I wasn't really had the cash or the available you know, money in my bank account to be able to go and, you know, put down this big deposit and pay off a ton of equity. Like, I had a little bit of an introduction where I can pay a small chunk of the deposit and wait a couple more years, save and earn some more, and then pay the remainder. So when I was choosing the property, I realized, like, I'm probably going to have to really choose the least expensive property that's available in this development. So there was two options for me at that lower price. There was, you know, a few thousand in difference, but not too much. But one of the options was both were two-bedroom apartments, but one was had a balcony at each end and was quite a thin, longer style apartment. And the other option was a corner apartment, which was ground floor, but it had a squarish layout where all the bedrooms flowed out into the living space. And there was positive and negatives about both of them, but what was interesting was the long, thin one. There was multiple different properties that had the exact same layout as this one, and the corner apartment, which was ground floor, was unique, and there was no other design like it. It actually had, because it was ground floor, it had a bigger terrace than the ones above it for their balconies. It had some nice greenery that was going to be maintained by the strata, and and it actually had a nice outlook and some water views too. So what happened here really is that I ended up picking a really unique property that was scarce. There wasn't many like it. And so during the period of, the build, and they were getting close to me having to pay the remainder of the deposit, the developer, which was Walker Corporation at the time, came to me and said, we would like to rent out your property as a showroom for selling the remaining developments and buildings that we have. And this, it kind of took me on my next step in the journey, and it was like, okay, well, I bought an apartment which is residential, and now they're telling me something about having to turn the apartment and the permits into a commercial permit. So there was a lot there that I needed to learn, and I was like, okay, well, they're going to turn into a commercial property. Do commercial properties get more rent than residentials? If I sell it, does the commercial, am I able to sell a commercial property for more than a residential property?
He did some research on the site as the property was still being developed and was surprised by what he saw.
Well, this is a big decision for me, right? This is all my money going towards this thing. Is this what I want to do and move forward with? And prior to them actually contacting me, because this was such a big investment for me and it was local to where I lived, it was probably maybe a 10-minute drive, I would pass by the development to see how they were progressing. And as we got closer to this, to the end, I noticed that they'd put in a set of stairs going up into the terrace, which shouldn't have been there. And I was like, this is a bit weird. This is like some really wide stairs. Like, this doesn't look like a personal set of stairs. This looks like an entrance into a shopping center or a showroom, right? Yeah. So I was kind of like, oh, this is a bit weird. And I think I talked to someone there on the ground at the time and just said, oh, what's happening? They're like, oh yeah, we're just, building this into an office, and without them really knowing who I was. So I realized that, okay, they're looking and they've already invested in making and turning this into a showroom. So they've made this commitment, and it's putting me in a pretty good position knowing this information, so that when they approached me to ask if they could do this, I knew that I could ask for, say, better terms.
So, inspired by Liam Austin's journey and that incredible story he shared with us, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode of Property Invest Story, where we will reveal what happens next.
So I would get brand new furnishings and finishings to that apartment, so that maybe all the other apartments in my building would have been, say, 7 years old, and mine would have been brand new.
We'll discuss what he wants to achieve in the near future.
Looking at growing Entrepreneurs HQ, running more of these online conferences for ourselves, for our own business, but we also help our students to run these online events for themselves in various different industries.
The personal habits which have been contributing to his success:
go for a run, go for a swim, go for a walk, whatever it might be. I think that's really something that has helped me be better, make better decisions and be more focused, as well as just be more happy as well.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory.